Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, a Georgia lawmaker is charged with theft of government funds. Georgia public schools will now have drug overdose reversal kits, and Braves legend Dale Murphy misses his chance to be elected to baseball's Hall of Fame.
He was the best player in baseball, but he had a precipitous fall at the end of his career, and it really made the difference, unfortunately.
Today is Monday, December 8th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. A Georgia State House member faces accusations of lying to collect federal unemployment benefits during the pandemic. Prosecutors said today Democratic State Representative Sharon Henderson of Covington has been indicted on 2 counts of theft of government funds and 10 counts of making false statements. Henderson has pleaded not guilty and declined to comment after her release on bail. She's accused of illegally collecting more than $17,000 in unemployment benefits. Prosecutors allege Henderson falsely claimed that she was entitled to benefits as a laid-off substitute teacher during the pandemic. Henderson could be suspended from office without pay after a state review panel considers her case. All public schools in Georgia soon will have overdose reversal kits. The State Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities and the State Department of Education announced the initiative on Friday. DBHDD Commissioner Kevin Tanner said the initiative allows educators and communities a chance to prevent deaths. Distribution began this fall in parts of Metro Atlanta and in Southwest and Central Georgia. The initiative was prompted by a new state law that requires schools to stock naloxone and allows teachers and other school staff to carry and administer the medication on school property. Atlanta Braves legend Dale Murphy may loom large in the hearts of fans here in Georgia, but those with the power to send him to the Baseball Hall of Fame seem less impressed. Murphy got 6 votes in the recent Hall of Fame contemporary ballot vote, which is far from the 12 he needed to be sent to Cooperstown, New York. For a look at why he's falling short, let's turn to GPB's Jeff Hollinger. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Peter, it's good to be with you. And disappointing news about Dale Murphy. There had been such a push over the last couple of months of so many baseball players, so many celebrities, maybe that doesn't matter as much, but well-known names going to bat, if you'll pardon the pun, for Dale Murphy, trying to get him into Cooperstown. And disappointingly here on this Monday, he falls short, and there is that sort of cold reality that this might not happen.
Let's look at maybe why, because he spent parts of 15 seasons with the Braves, a few other teams as well. One of those teams we shall not mention. He hit 398 homers over his career batting average of .265, was a 2-time MVP, 5-time Gold Glove winner in the outfield. So those are impressive numbers. So why aren't they enough?
Dale Murphy in the 1980s, between that period between about 1980 to 87, 88, he was the best player in baseball, but he had a precipitous fall at the end of his career, and it really made the difference, unfortunately, as to whether he gets in or not. He had knee problems. He also had a blood infection that also took him down as well. But the issue of his knees, by the time, you know, the late 80s came, became a huge issue with Dale.
That seems to be a common story, at least for this particular ballot. Don Mattingly, first baseman for the Yankees, also got 6 votes. He had a bright, shining series of years in New York in the 80s, but after that, he fell off too, in part because of a back injury. Is that the story here, that you have to be good, but you also have to be consistent?
I think you have to have a career that is lengthy. Jeff Kent certainly has impressive numbers for a second baseman. Had 17 years in Major League Baseball. He's greatly helped by Barry Bonds in San Francisco.
Jeff Kent, we should say, did pass muster and get elected to the Hall of Fame over the weekend.
He did get in. And, you know, I think also, Peter, I think you look at Cooperstown, I think we look at it a little bit differently, whether we want to or not, in 2025. The days of Aaron and Mays and Mantle and DiMaggio have long since passed. It's not such an easy decision and easy criteria to get into Cooperstown. Now, if you look at Kirby Puckett, you look at Jim Rice, you look at Dave Parker, I like Murphy's numbers better than all of those guys, and I think he was a better player than those three. They got in. Murphy did not. And it just doesn't look like Dale's going to get in at this point. You know, Dale played center field, unlike others who were playing right or left field. You know, he's playing on the turf of the time, which also beat up his knees. I always like to think that had somebody in the Braves organization made the proper decision to put him in right or left field, maybe we would be talking very differently about Dale Murphy today.
Well, what do Georgia fans remember about Dale Murphy that perhaps those on the voting committee need to keep in mind if he does get another shot?
You know, Peter, I had the great pleasure of covering him in the 1980s, and I saw him at his zenith, and this was a very different Atlanta, very different Atlanta Metro, very different Southeast. You know, the superstation was just kicking in, and Dale was the face of the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, the Braves had a couple of good teams there in the early 80s, but by the time they got to the late 80s, I mean, they were horrible. I mean, they were really, really terrible baseball teams. But Dale Murphy was this lone bright star. He was such a big star in Atlanta. There was just nothing like him.
That's GPB's Jeff Hollinger remembering Dale Murphy, his impact on the Braves, and why he may not be able to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Jeff, thank you very much. In other Georgia sports news, Kennesaw State won its first Conference USA title Friday night in only its second season as a member. First-year coach Jerry Mack led his team to the championship win after the Owls finished 2-10 last season. The Atlanta Falcons ended another losing season and were officially eliminated from playoff contention in a thoroughly dismal Sunday performance at home. The Falcons surrendered 31 points in the second half of a 37-9 blowout by the Seattle Seahawks. And the world's top-ranked men's national soccer team will play at least twice in Atlanta during the 2026 World Cup. The match schedule for next year's tournament was released on Saturday. It shows the Spanish national team playing twice in Atlanta during the World Cup's grouping stages in June. Researchers at Emory University have recorded disparities in who has been prescribed weight loss medications known as GLP-1s. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more on the findings.
GLP-1 prescriptions have taken off in the last few years. A recent analysis of 19 million people who have used them for type 2 diabetes, obesity, or both suggests the rise in prescriptions aren't just driven by a clinical need, says Emory University global health professor Hui Hsiao.
We see people with better insurance, more coverage, lower copay. Their use of GLP-1 are much, much higher than people with less generous coverage or no insurance.
GLP-1s are expensive, thousands of dollars a year. And for now, Medicare and Medicaid do not cover the medication for weight loss alone. President Trump says he plans to negotiate lower prices on GLP-1s if purchased through TrumpRx. Separate negotiations by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid promise to curb millions in out-of-pocket costs. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
2024 broke all records for the amount of time Americans spent with electricity interruptions. A new report last week by the U.S. Energy Information Administration says hurricanes, including Helene, accounted for the vast majority of hours spent without power. U.S. electricity customers experienced an average of 11 hours with electricity interruptions. In Georgia, the average is about 9.5 hours, behind Florida, Texas, and the Carolinas. Governor Brian Kemp lit the Christmas tree at the Georgia Capitol today, kicking off the holiday season at the Gold Dome. GPB's Sarah Callis has more.
The Spelman College Glee Club performed Christmas carols in the Capitol Rotunda as part of the tree lighting ceremony. Governor Kemp reflected on the holiday season as he lit the 26-foot-tall red cedar tree from a family farm in the northwest Georgia town of Lyndale.
It's a time to pause and reflect on the blessings in our own lives and find ways to pay those blessings forward.
Radio personality Clark Howard shared memories with the crowd about Clark's Christmas kits, an initiative embraced by the state to provide Christmas gifts to nearly 10,000 children in Georgia's foster care system. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis at the state capitol.
And that's a wrap on Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Check out gpb.org/news for any updates to the story you heard on the podcast today and for the latest updates about any other story that may pop up. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast, highly recommend it. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon. You won't want to miss a thing. And if you've got some feedback for us, the best way to reach us is by email. When you email georgiatoday@gpb.org, it'll go to the whole team. Again, georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.